I'm still so flustered.
Yeah, use that.
Use the fluster.
Yeah.
Turn it into art.
Yeah. I don't want to say anymore because use it.
Fluster. Hi, everybody. Welcome to Sneaky Dragon. My name is David Dedrick.
And mine's Ian Boothby. And Dave, today has a bee in his bonnet.
I do have a bee in my
bonnet. This is the section of the show we call, What's That Bee in Your Bonnet?
This is called, What's Grinding Your Coffee?
Mm-hmm.
What's grinding your...
Hey, what's shucking your clams, Dave?
What's shucking my... Well, you kind of know, but I'm going to tell everyone...
What little girl is pulling away the football and sending you flying on your back?
I'm going to tell all our listener about this.
Okay.
And because we did the show late today,
mm-hmm.
because I was supposed to pick up Phyllis from school. That was arranged last night.
Right.
Half an hour later, it seemed. It was changed. Maybe later. I don't know. I wrote to you like... It seemed like minutes later I wrote to you and you're like, oh, I've already changed all my plans. So
yes.
let's stick to the later time. So yeah. So I was driving.
So what you're saying is I was accommodating you.
You're accommodating me.
And now you're riding me on it.
And now I'm going to ride you on it.
Okay.
Because that was nice of you, I have to admit. But it just seemed weird that I wrote to you like a half an hour later. I said, false alarm. I'm not needed.
And yeah.
You're like, too late, sucker.
Yeah.
I've already changed my whole day.
Because I got a packed day. Yeah,
everyone else is accommodating, too.
Yeah, apparently. Yeah. Okay.
Can I change what I'm going to do? Everyone was like, sure, Ian, whatever. Except for me. When I wrote back and said, can I change what I'm going to do? You're like, no.
But this is not.
You weren't accommodating to me. That's what I'm trying to say.
This is not the rattlesnake in your pants.
this is not the skunk in my soup.
Okay.
This is, I was driving here, my normal route.
Mm-hmm.
And then I just hit this incredible amount of traffic.
Over the river and through the woods. That's how you
get over the
here.
River and past the septic facility,
mm-hmm.
which was why the traffic stopping was a little annoying there. Because it's rather ripe when the wind is blowing in the wrong direction, or when they have one of the facilities shut down.
Mm-hmm.
The smell gathers, drifts along the ground, and into your car.
Now, is this the Anasus Bridge mm-hmm. you're talking
yeah.
about?
Yeah.
Now, I think, if I'm remembering correctly, the septic area there mm-hmm. was used in the X-Files movie as the place that's full of bees. So if you watch the X-Files movie, that's where Dave was. He was beside the big bee area.
Oh,
but
okay.
Now imagine all those bees had just ate a lot of chili and were taking a dump.
In my car.
That's right. Okay, so.
Actually, in the new Godzilla film, it's going to be in that as well. Well, as a nuclear plant.
Have you heard about the Canadian Godzilla film? It's called Gordzilla.
Gordzilla?
It's just a guy named Gord who's really big.
Yeah.
And he walks around and it doesn't do much. Doesn't hurt anyone. Doesn't get in anyone's way. Doesn't want no trouble. And then everyone just leaves him alone. Yeah. And says sorry whenever he accidentally kicks something.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the Canadian Godzilla. Anyway, continue, Dave.
Okay. So I was driving along this road and so I got to this point where it was packed traffic, both routes, because it divides there. You can go in one direction, which is where I want to go,
right.
or the other direction, which I could have gone.
Really Robert Frosting.
And kind
it.
Of wound my way around.
Right.
It's, yeah, it's the path both taken by different cars.
Right.
And so I just thought, well, you know what? I don't know what's going on here. I better not get into that line and get stuck. And I didn't, so I didn't turn off there. I kept in the lane. Mm-hmm. An hour later, as I crept along, in first gear. I never went above first gear.
Nope.
For an hour.
Nope.
I have a really sore leg from working the clutch for an hour, going nowhere. Because, you know, when you have a standard car, the nice thing about it is when you're driving is you can take your foot off the clutch for a little while and rest your leg. You don't have to constantly be, you know, pressing down the clutch and shifting, blah, blah, blah. In this case, I had to constantly keep the clutch down because it was always slightly moving. I couldn't stop, put it in idle, or put it in neutral, sorry, and just take my foot off the clutch, because then the traffic nope. moved.
That's right.
So then I had to put it back in gear.
Then you're the jerk that's making it even worse.
And what was weird is it was dark, and so I was getting this weird optical illusion where when I was stopped, the car in front of me was moving forward. It felt like I was going backwards.
Yes, that's right.
It was really weird, and it started happening, and I think I fell asleep once as well, because I had this sudden movement, like my leg kind of went up, and the car kind of jumped, and I went, whoa! I was like, I don't even know what happened there. I think I fell asleep for a moment. I had a little nap, a little micro nap.
Yeah.
Because it was
nothing's
a lot
more relaxing than a car nap.
So what was so frustrating, though, was after an hour of creeping along,
yeah. The
traffic just started to go fast. Like, mysteriously. Like, everyone just kind of went, oh, let's go. And everyone just sped up to the speed limit, which is, you know, 90. They were probably going, I don't think we were quite going 90. I think we're going 80. But we still sped up.
Okay. Now you're talking kilometers an hour or miles per hour?
Oh, sorry. Yeah. Kilometers, of course.
All right. Don't scare our American listeners.
Don't scare American listeners. And So I didn't even have the satisfaction of like having to wind, like thread through a terrible carnage with ambulances parked and fire engines and everyone willy-nilly and policemen right. running around.
You wanted to see weeping widows.
I wanted to see why was
you
I
You want to see a dog waiting? On fire running around.
Yeah, because otherwise you're like, well, what the hell? Was this like a practical joke on me that everyone just decided, let's slow down and make Dave late or some other person?
That would be an elaborate just for laughs gags.
It would be incredibly elaborate. And I did not sign any waiver, so I will not be in it. Yeah, so I'm really aggravated right now.
Mm-hmm.
So I think what we should do is talk about Carrie again. Just kidding.
If you could have any Stephen King power of any of the characters, what one would you go with? You can be a fire starter. You can have your Shining. You can have your carry powers with
telepaths. They're all bad. Like, which one is a good power?
You can have the power of the mist, where you're a dad who has bad judgment in the movie.
You can have the power of Pet Cemetery, which is to
bring things back to life.
That have no soul.
Mm-hmm.
They're slightly twisted or evil or something like that.
That's right.
Cats.
Here's a question with Pet Cemetery. Did they try, like, killing him again and burying him again and seeing if, like, second time's the charm, two wrongs make a right kind of situation, and then they come out, like, really good? Did anyone give it that a shot?
No, because they couldn't.
Oh, emotionally they couldn't. Okay.
Pet Sematary is not a terrible book, actually. Like, I kind of, even though that was the last Stephen King I ever read, I actually kind of liked the ending of it. I thought worked pretty well. Yeah, because, you know, he does this thing, even though he knows it's terrible and he shouldn't do it.
Right.
He just can't help himself because he's so grief-stricken. So he does this terrible thing and then has this monster come back that he kind of partly loves because it looks like his son.
Yes.
But partly fears and hates because it isn't his son.
Right.
And then I believe at the end of the story, they move away and like, or just run away from him in some way.
Oh, okay.
Because it describes at the end of the story that he knows whether from the, it's been years. I read it in grade 12, so that was 40 years ago.
Right.
So,
you were forced to read it in grade 12.
No, I just read it. Why would I be forced to read it?
Well, you know, because they force you to read books in school.
Well, no, this wasn't a school book. This was the book I just read on my own.
Okay, but you mentioned you were in school.
Well, I'm just saying that's when I read it, when I was in grade 12.
Oh, I see. You can see my confusion.
That I chose to read a book on my own?
In grade 12. When you mentioned it's in grade 12.
Yeah.
You see, here's the thing.
Yeah.
If you say, here's Dave, if I'm saying
here's
like,
the thing.
Hey, Dave,
yeah.
I did this science experiment mm-hmm. where I built a volcano in grade 7. Oh, you did that? Was that for a school science fair? No. I did it because I like building volcanoes at home.
But I did I did not say in grade 12. I said when I was in grade 12. Because I do not know times or ages. I only know grades.
You had terrible schooling then.
No, I didn't have
terrible schooling.
Maybe,
I just cannot remember. Grade 12, you should have learned the old mathy skills. Maybe less time at the readie read and more time the old math class,
well,
maybe.
That goes without saying because I did most of my Stephen King reading in math class. But even now with my daughters, I don't say when you were 6 or when you were 8. I say when you were in grade 3 or when you were in grade 5. That's blah, blah, blah happened. Like, I don't know. I'm glad I have kids. And they were going through grade school, so I have a further dating system. Because otherwise, my 20s are just a mystery to me. I have no idea when anything happened.
Right. So when did you meet your wife?
Oh, well, I was in grade college.
Okay.
First year college.
There you go. First year college.
Yeah.
Now, was it, did you like, you know, get together with her because you went like, oh, okay, now I've got this date in my head. And once I'm out of school, I can't ever date again.
Yes.
Because I will never remember when we met.
That's why I met her and married her. Is
yes.
Because I needed a dating system.
Right. Because otherwise, besides the fact that I was later, dating her. You're SOL, buddy.
Yeah.
You know, you're just like in limbo land.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have no idea when we started this show. It's our second anniversary next week. You didn't know that.
Oh,
how would you? Because we didn't go to school.
I know that because that's another dating system I have now is the shows.
Oh, this is your new
school.
They're
numbered, yeah.
All right. That all makes good sense. Yeah. Back to the question. I would get the Carrie's powers, I think. I think Carrie's powers are good.
But she can't control them and goes out of control and kills a bunch of people.
Well, I don't have crazy parents that raised me to be all...
That doesn't matter.
Wait, you think like her powers are... Oh, geez, we're talking about Carrie again. I think her powers were all messed up because she was psychologically messed up from her mom.
I think her powers are messed up because she's a teenager and can't control her emotions.
Oh, I see.
So I think anyone who had those powers would have trouble controlling them.
So over time, she would not...
Over time, if she didn't kill people first, she would...
No, here's my question
to you. Or kill herself. I think that's why she kills herself, personally.
Now, I forget the name of the fella in the movie, but he is also in the book. The Scatman Crothers guy in Shining.
Yeah.
Shining Sam. Let's call him Shining Sam.
Yeah.
He's
called Hambone.
Sure, let's go. That sounds even worse. So Shining Sam shows up and says to her, listen, you got special powers like I do.
That was a Love Boat reference.
Was it?
Remember, Scatman Crothers was on the Love Boat and he did the ham bone on it. Don't you remember that? He's like, yes, slaps his leg and he goes, ham bone, ham bone. And I can't remember any more of it, but that's
I do.
Okay.
I also remember him singing Sheik of Araby on a talk show.
I did a lot of babysitting when I was a teenager, and Love Boat and Fantasy Island were the only shows on that you could be bothered to watch. And so I regularly watched those shows. Even though I hated them both, I would sit there and watch them like a vegetable at other people's houses.
I enjoy me some Scatman Crothers. But now, say Scatman Crothers shows up and says to her, you've got powers. Don't worry about it. I got powers.
Yeah.
You think you're all satined up. You ain't. Mm-hmm. I'm not satined up and can calm her because he can read her mind and get in there and just calm it down and go, like, hey, they're not laughing at you. Let it go. Everything's fine.
But she can read his mind and see the posters on his wall.
Yeah.
And then she just vaporizes him.
A man that old would not have posters on his wall.
He did in the movie.
He would have framed pictures, beautiful framed pictures.
In the movie, don't you remember?
What did he have?
He had like kind of sexy posters on the wall of his bungalow or whatever he was.
Oh, did he?
Laying on the bed and drinking a beer.
Oh, okay.
Before he suddenly got The Shining and went, I got to get up there to get killed by an axe.
So when...
this is the movie, people.
So when the little boy connects with him...
Danny.
Danny sends the connection, and they connect through their Shining line. Mm-hmm. That was the internet of the time. Shining DSL. Dedicated Shining line. Could Danny see those dirty pictures on the walls?
Yeah.
Oh, that's why he would like tune in.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, all right, sure. That's a weird use of The Shining. I guess it is like the internet then of the day. That sounds fine. Yeah. How soon before Stephen King does an internet-related horror book? He's got to.
He's already written it.
What was it?
He's already written it. He's just sitting at the publisher's waiting to be published. I think he writes like 3 books. He's like the Anthony Trollope of our day.
Mm-hmm.
You know? He has like 3 books sitting, waiting in line. So when he dies, we'll have the joy of many more Stephen King books. Many more.
I mean,
and it was, possibly some other films made by
Frank. It was terrible
Frank
when
Durr.
He got hit by the car. I think the worst thing for him was he could not write in the ambulance. And that was the longest he'd gone without writing that whole amount of time.
Yeah. Well, he tapped it out in Morse code on his arm. And his amanuensis was there. And she took shorthand of what he was saying.
And he was like, vampire ducks? Are you sure? No, you're not hearing me right. God damn it. And then try to re-tap it out. And there you are.
He was hit by a minivan.
Was he?
Yeah.
Okay.
You said car, so I just thought I'd take away, you know, and just put more blame on minivans.
Okay.
Killer, possible killer of Stephen King.
Right. And it wasn't the same guy that hit Ben Vereen.
Well, Ben Vereen should not have been tap dancing on that road, which was Mulholland Drive, I believe it was, wasn't it?
Was it? And it was David Foster that hit Ben Vereen.
Dead Man's Curve.
It'd be great if like if David Foster had just like hit a whole bunch of celebrities that night and just had a terrible evening of like just running. And then he runs James Dean off the road, travels back in time to do that one. Jane Mansfield. Like all the car-related things are just him traveling around and causing chaos.
It's funny. When I was younger, I knew David Foster as a guy who played on George Harrison records.
Oh, yeah?
So I always kind of liked him because he played on George Harrison records. So I don't have this sort of, you know...
Well, it's the terrible thing is like, whenever I think of him hitting Ben Vereen... And again, I enjoy Ben Vereen. But there's two things...
He was good in Roots.
But here's,
he was Chicken George.
He also was on The Muppet Show. And on The Muppet Show, he
was Chicken Gonzo.
On The Muppet Show, well, Gonzo would enjoy that. On the Muppet Show, he sings a song called Mr. Cellophane. And the song Mr. Cellophane is all about, you can't see me. You can walk by right by me, see right through me, mm-hmm. never know I'm there. So like, that sounds a bad thing for a guy walking down the road. And then David Foster seems to be his best known thing, Man in Motion. So all I think is he's really playing that Man in Motion song as he's driving along. All I need's a pair of wheels, nothing's going to stop me. And then you got Ben Vereen, Mr. Cellophane, no one can see me. Well, that's just trouble waiting to happen. And it does.
It did.
And there you go. Both of your songs were self-fulfilling prophecies.
Wow.
And that, you know, the Bare Naked Ladies, they sang that song, If I Had $1 Million, now they got $1 Million. You sing it, it happens.
Wow.
That's how you make a wish. That's how you do it, Jiminy Cricket style. You got to sing it up.
I'm going to stop singing that old folk song, My Willy Fell Off, right away.
Please do anyway.
Please stop singing it anyway.
Yeah, please stop singing that anyway.
It's a kind of a fun song.
Is it?
I just made it up.
Well, the floor is yours.
I just made it up.
All right.
That's as far as I'm going to go.
That's fair. That's fair enough. Now, you just spilled some water over a gift that I had given you.
So sorry.
That was music related as well. That's okay. It's a nice hardcover. So there you go.
I cleaned it off.
Now, I'm just bringing that up because the title of the book outraged you when I gave you the gift. I went, Dave, here's the gift. And you went, this title is a lie. Slam.
I did not say that.
Most people would say thank you.
But I said thank you.
All right. So what is the title of the book?
The title is The Fifth Beatle, The Brian Epstein Story.
Okay, and is this this is a comic novel?
It is a graphic comic book. It's a graphic novel. Perhaps his sex acts are graphically presented in this.
I don't know. I saw it online. I thought it might be something that you would like. And so when it was in the RX store, which is in the same building as Hell Kitty Studios, I picked it up today, got it for you. And you said to me, David,
so nice.
You do not believe that Brian Epstein is the fifth Beatle.
No, I don't.
Okay. So on a scale of 5 to 10, with the fifth Beatle being the fifth number five, going to 10, who are the who would you list as the fifth Beatles in order of importance? People who have been called the fifth Beatle.
Okay. Well, let me just clarify.
Please clarify, Dave.
Because when you say fifth Beatle,
this is your butter moment. Clarify.
Because the reason I wouldn't consider Brian Epstein to be a fifth Beatle is because he wasn't really a Beatle. He was the manager of the group. You know what I mean? He was their dad. He had a different role. He wasn't like a creative
but
part.
But in a family, if it was the Beatles family, wouldn't dad be part of the family?
His role in the group was different. Like, he couldn't be part of the gang. Do you know what I mean?
Okay.
Like, he never could. I mean, that was part of the tragedy of Brian Epstein, was that he couldn't be that person to the Beatles.
Did he want to be part of the gang?
I think he did. I think he really did. And I think he had it to a degree. Mm-hmm. But I don't think he was the same as, say, someone like George Martin, who was intimately involved in the creative processes of the Beatles. And that's who I think is the fifth Beatle, is George Martin.
Okay.
Because George Martin, more than anyone, made the Beatles. You know, not only did he recognize their talent early on when they were already been turned down by Decca Records, famously turned down by Dick Rowe, who said guitar groups were on their way out, and turned down the Beatles.
Whoops.
Yeah. But he recognized their nascent talent, because really, if you listen to what they were doing at that time, it's not great. It's okay. And it's good, and you know, to look at it retrospectively, it's interesting. But it's not great. Like, you wouldn't listen to it and go, wow, they are going to be the greatest thing ever. But he heard them, and he heard something. And not only that, but he had the smarts. He recognized that what they were doing was more interesting than what he wanted them to do. Because originally he wanted them to sing a pop song that was written by someone else. A song that was eventually done by...
Was it Don't Let My Willy Fall Off?
Don't Let My Willy Fall Off. No, it was... I can't remember the name of the song now, but it was covered... It was actually done by another... by Jerry and the Pacemakers, they did it. And it was the song that went, oh, do what you do to me, da, da. You know, it did have like a Merseybeat kind of sound to it.
And Jerry and the Pacemakers went on to invent the artificial heart.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Because there was no pacemakers at that point, hence their name being so revolutionary.
Yeah, good for them.
Yeah.
Saved a lot of lives, that band.
So not only, not only did he recognize that they would be better doing their own material than copying other people's and doing, you know, he recognized that, you know, so he encouraged them to write their own songs. So their first single was Love Me Do rather than this other person's song.
Wasn't that, or where did Twist and Shout come in?
Twist and Shout was not a single. It was just an album track on their first album.
Okay, but that was very popular, wasn't it, at the time?
Popular part of their act, you mean?
Well, I'm saying, like, Twist and Shout wasn't a song that they wrote, was it?
No, it was just a song they covered. But it was never a single.
Oh, okay.
It wasn't a single. It was not released as a single. It's just a popular album track.
All right.
It might have been released as a single in the States. I don't know, like, the complete release history of the Beatles in the States, but in England it was not a single.
Okay, I thought that was their first kind of
their first single was Love Me Do.
All right,
that was their first single, love Me Do. It's not like it's the greatest song ever, but it's, you know, it's okay. And then
it gets you there.
And then you know, so he also recognized that, because, you know, he's thinking of the Beatles in terms of normal acts of the time. So he was looking, like, who's the leader here? Is it John or is it Paul? Mm-hmm. Like, they were the obvious leaders. Which one is it? And he just realized, you know what, it doesn't matter. They're both the leaders. They both can sing. We'll have two singers. We won't have this one singer singing all the songs. You know, so it was all these little decisions that he made early on that kind of allowed them to flower as a group. He played instruments in their songs. He played the piano. on lots of songs. He wasn't like a rock and roll guy, but you know, he could fake it. So he played boogie woogie piano on various songs, or key organ and stuff like that. He did string arrangements for them. I mean, he did the string arrangements for Eleanor Rigby. That's entirely him.
So he was literally a band member.
Literally, yeah. I mean, he was intimately, he wasn't a band member. Like, there's only four Beatles, you know what I mean? Like, there's only four people that
But he was a
existed.
Session musician but he, style guy on, he, it was a
yeah,
producer, but like,
he was a producer, he was intimately, yeah, he listened to their songs, he gave suggestions, he's the one who made them speed up Please Please Me, which was originally like a slow Roy Orbison song, and he said, no, speed it up, that's better.
Because he wanted to go to lunch.
You know, as I'm just saying, like, you know, like, for me, Brian Epstein was outside of that. He was doing tour itineraries, he was... you know, negotiating, you know, percentages. He was badly fumbling merchandising deals.
Now, would you say that without Brian Epstein, the Beatles wouldn't have been who they were? Or would someone else have discovered them, clearly discovered them?
That's a good question. It's hard to know.
That's the first good question I've ever asked on the, and we're at episode 103. Will talent out, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, I wonder. And I do kind of think possibly, I mean, I think he had a big part in them. And I would never want to take away what Brian Epstein did. Like, he was a revolutionary manager. Mm. And he taught other people, like Andrew Lou Goldman went on to manage the Rolling Stones, learned tons from Brian Epstein, you know, and took what he learned from him and carried it on into the Rolling Stones. And, you know, and Brian Epstein was walking a path that no one had ever walked before. Not even Elvis had the kind of fame that the Beatles had or did what the Beatles did. Elvis never toured outside of the United States or outside of North America.
Now, was the level of fame because of television becoming more popular?
Television, the fact that they toured all around the world, not just in North America and England or Europe, but they went to the Philippines, they went to Japan. I mean, they did stuff that, you know, Australia, this is an incredible amount of touring, an incredible amount of spreading their brand around the world, you know. And just things like, you know, merchandising, no group had ever experienced anything like that before. Like the Beatlemania of the early 60s, the amount of junk that was sold.
People didn't want to dress like Elvis?
Well, they did, but there was no, like, there wasn't that kind of crazy, you know, selling sheets from the hotel where
you stayed
at.
Everyone didn't do up their hair Elvis.
There was no Elvis wig.
Well, here's
there were Beatle wigs.
I guess I always look back at, again, because I'm a comics nerd, I look at, like, Captain Marvel Jr. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Elvis was so popular that Captain Marvel Jr. was designed to look basically exactly like Elvis.
Okay.
And then with the hair, and then coincidentally, or was it? Or am I reversing it? I'm sorry, I've reverse engineered this. Backing off, David, sorry. Elvis actually did his hair to look like the Captain Marvel Jr. That was my mistake.
Oh,
sorry.
Is that right?
Sorry, sir. Okay. Yeah. So later on in comics, they made Captain Marvel Jr. look more like Elvis because Elvis was based on Captain Marvel Jr.
I'm not going to deny that Elvis was popular.
Sorry, I'm going to nerd you out one more time.
Okay.
Okay. So there's the celebrity connection there. But Captain Marvel was based facially on what actor?
Captain Marvel was based facially
on what actor? He's an actor who could be a dad. On something. He could also be a real chilling son
like
of a bitch.
Fred McMurray?
Bang on. Huh. That's who it was.
Double Indemnity and My Three Sons.
And The Apartment.
Oh, yeah, he's a real
son of a bitch
SOB
in that
one, too.
That's right. But Fred McMurray, yeah, he was based on him.
Very good in the Preston Sturges scripted film, Remember the Night.
All right, I'll have
very
to see
good in that.
That
film. I highly recommend it.
All right. But back to the Beatles. Now, okay, so Beatles. those are in that angle. You've got George Martin. Would you say then the sixth Beatle would be Brian Epstein?
Well, I don't know. Yeah, I guess. Sure.
Okay.
Because, I mean, there were other people that helped the Beatles along. I mean, Neil Aspinall, Derek Taylor.
Number eight.
The other roadie, Mel Evans.
Number nine. And we need number 10.
Number 10? I don't know. I can't. I'm sure there are other people.
Would you throw a Yoko Ono in there? Some people have said
that. No, I wouldn't throw a Yoko Ono in there. She would not be. She'd be the fifth wheel.
Okay.
And it's not that I don't like Yoko Ono. I do. But I just, in terms of what the Beatles were, you know, this kind of tight-knit group, she was something that didn't work in that situation, you know, that kind of, you know, helped something end that was already probably nearing its end anyway. I mean, the Beatles basically ended after Revolver. The Beatles ended because they stopped touring. So that's the end of them as a band. Now they're four individuals who are working together on projects, but they're not together in a tight-knit situation where it's us against the world.
Right.
You know, it's almost becomes us against each other because each of them have their own ideas of what they want to do and how they want to do it. And they want their songs on the record more than other people's songs on. And, you know, and so it becomes a totally different situation after that.
Now, that screaming mass of girls that you always see at Beatles concerts, whenever they show, they're just the screaming so loud, apparently you cannot hear the band.
Yeah.
Just screaming.
Yeah.
Did other bands at the time have that going on?
To a degree, not, like, obviously saw, not as
if
elevated.
If you saw The Who, would you...
The Who would have been later. The Who wouldn't have had that kind of...
All right. Who would have been... like a Jerry and the Pacemakers ain't going to get that kind of screaming. Who...
They do. Like if you watch like the Ed Sullivan Show, Jerry and the Pacemakers, even Freddie and the Dreamers get like that kind of shrieking.
Right.
I mean, Freddie and the Dreamer, you ever seen Do the Freddie? It's embarrassing. Very embarrassing.
But the girls are screaming.
The girls are screaming because it's guys doing stuff.
Now, kind of level of girl screamage, has that just gone away over time? Did that go away in the 70s with disco?
No, it's still around.
Because you couldn't scream to the Bee Gees? Like,
there's still girls screaming at One Direction and being silly at One Direction. I mean, just a little while ago, Liam was texting to some, was or tweeting out to his fans to get out of this bushy area near his hotel because there were deadly snakes in it in Australia. It's like, do you know where you're sitting? But they didn't move because they're just gigantic. They're ginormous One Direction fans.
Well, all the snakes were screaming as well, just going hiss. But that's how snakes scream their love for you. but the One Direction would never go, okay, we've got to stop touring, guys, because we cannot hear our music over the girls screaming.
Well, no, it's different now because, I mean, when the Beatles were touring, there was no PA systems. There was nothing of all the
so the flaw
paraphernalia.
Was the sound system.
Yeah. They were playing
so
without...
So the Beatles could have continued to play if they had the sound system
if they wanted
of today.
To, yeah. If they wanted to, they could have carried on. I mean, they were playing with their amps on stage. That's what the sound that was being made was from their amps on the stage. That's the sound. It wasn't coming.
That's too soft.
It wasn't going through the speaker system of the stadium.
Oh, that's foolishness.
When they played here at Empire Stadium, the sound was coming from their amps on the stage.
Well, of course, we couldn't hear you then.
No,
it's ridiculous.
It's silly.
The problem was that. The problem wasn't that the girls were screaming. The problem was that your amps are bad.
Yeah, and you know, when people can hear themselves, they will be louder. Do you know what I mean? Like, if what they're doing is exciting and loud, they will become louder.
Right.
Like, if you're playing and you drown them out, they will quiet down because their screaming is it's
so
gets
when
tiring.
Then did the speaker systems become such that this screaming girl problem was not a problem?
Well, around the mid 60s, a man named Jim Marshall invented the Marshall amp. But what they were
egotistical.
And they were stacked amps that could be put on stage, and they had like not just one little they were stacked, and not just one amp but several amps. And what's funny nowadays, like when I went and saw Van Halen many, many years ago at their very boring concert, you know, the whole back of the stage was all Marshall amps. It was just like this big towers of Marshall stacks all behind the stage, and that's what was, you know, created. But also they were mic'd so that they also broadcast through the sound system in the actual Coliseum.
Right.
And what's funny to me is when I went and saw Garbage play. Yes, I went and saw Garbage.
That's fine.
You want to make a joke?
About what?
About Garbage. Me saying Garbage.
No, it's fine.
Okay. So when I went and saw them play, their stage was...
Did they recycle any of their material?
Yes, put a lid on it. They... their stage was absolutely empty of all stacks. Like there was nothing on stage that indicated that they were a rock and roll band. You know what I mean? Like, I just thought, wow. So all those stacks nowadays.
They all came out with pillows and just started fighting each other with pillows. This doesn't look like a rock band at all.
No, this is a pillow party. all those feathers everywhere. They were in my shoes for months after that concert. But, you know, it just made me, I just kind of was watching, I was thinking, gee, that's funny, because now, you know, the sound system is so sophisticated, they don't really need all that stuff. Now it's just kind of like, you know, it just shows your rock and roll, you know, bona fides, I guess you call it, that to have a bunch of stacks on the stage, but you don't really need it. You can just play with your wireless, you know, connection to your guitar and stand on stage and you don't need nothing.
Now, do you think that the Beatles did stop doing the concerts because of the sound problems, or was it... they wanted to be more studio musicians.
It was a combination of things. Touring was horrible.
Like, why was touring horrible?
Well, I mean, they're being screamed at every night. They're having things thrown at them every night. Their plane was shot at. Their plane
was
riddled with, it had holes in it.
From who?
People shooting
the Rolling
at the plane.
Stones?
I don't know. People would shoot at the Beatles' planes.
Wait, hold it.
Yeah.
Stop.
This is true.
Oh, no, okay, that's fine. All right, explain this to me. What? So, like, where? Like, where would
like
they...
Like, the tail would have bullet holes and
what,
stuff like that.
What's that mean? Like, they'd show up at the airport with guns and shoot? Like,
no. Someone with a rifle would be outside of the airport and would fire at... Oh, everyone take a drink?
Okay, we're going to take a drink. This is the first I've heard of this. Hold it. It's very strange. All right. So, okay. So
yeah, I mean, no, there's...
No, but Dave, if I've got...
They were under constant death threat wherever they went.
I just want the technicals here.
There was also John Lennon's statement that the Beatles were more popular than Jesus,
right,
which created a huge outrage in the South.
So you think it was Jesus that was shooting at them?
So I think it was people who, in the name of Jesus, were shooting at
the Beatles. Right, of course, that's what it says in the Bible.
Or in the name of their girlfriend who was at the airport shaking her head off.
Again, I got a rifle,
jealous boyfriend.
And I'm trying... Like, mm-hmm. I don't see people with... Like, regular folk with rifles shooting planes. Like, what's that mean?
Well, you don't see that every day, is
what
you're
saying. You don't see it at all, because, like, you shoot into the sky, you're not going to hit
the plane. No, this is when they're on the sitting in the airport.
What the fuck is that? Like, you show up at the airport with a rifle back then? Like, I know security was more lax,
yes, it
but
was.
You show up with a rifle and you're sitting in the parking lot and you're taking shots at planes.
Yeah.
You get, like, one shot off and I assume security is going to go, hey, we're going to need to put that somewhere else, buddy.
You're thinking of a totally different time period.
What was the time
period
you could bring your own rifle to the airport and shoot at planes
for fun? No, but you can't,
what was that?
But you're thinking about airports now, not airports then.
Right.
Airports then were dinky little places.
Take me to airport then.
Think, okay.
There's a guy in the parking lot with a rifle shooting
don't
at
think
the
of,
Beatles
don't
planes.
Don't think of Vancouver International Airport.
No, I'm not.
Think of Abbotsford Airport. Have you ever seen Abbotsford Airport?
Okay,
imagine a plane on the runway at Abbotsford Airport.
Okay.
And you were standing or in your car or on a hill or in some bushes.
Right.
Could you hit a plane from there? Yes, you could. It's not that far.
It seems like you take shot one
and
then all hell breaks loose.
Yeah, that's why you'd run away. That's probably why there was not much more damage done than some holes in the tail fin.
Well, you're saying holes. Now, this is plural.
It's just aluminum.
Okay, but I'm saying the plural bugs me. Like, I can see you're a guy. You've got.
I'm just quoting what George Harrison
said. That's fine.
So.
You got one rifle and you take a shot.
Yeah.
Blam!
Yeah.
And now you've shot. Good shot, buddy. You actually hit the tail of the plane.
Yeah.
That's a good shot.
Yeah.
I think at that point, someone's gone, was that a shot? Oh, there's a guy with a gun. Let's get him. You don't go, I'm going to take about five more shots.
Remember, their plane went to more than one airport, right? They were on charter planes, so their plane flew from airport to airport.
Okay. Well, there's a couple of things. One, don't tell people what plane you're on then, jerk. After flight number one, lands and you got the shot up tail.
It's like the Beatles.
Like shot number two, then listen.
The amount of sneaking around
they had to do? Pacemakers, and no one gives a fuck.
When they stayed in Los Angeles for about
the Everly Brothers.
Well, you don't know.
Saying this is what brought down Buddy Holly?
You don't know what goes on. Like, I was reading this great article by this writer named Cintra Wilson. She wrote a really good book called A Massive Swelling. And in this, filthy. In this article, she talks about when she got an office. And it was the former office of the New Kids on the Block fan club. And so whoever, when they left this place, they just left some of the mail and stuff sitting there, like some of the letters that the New Kids on the Block got from their fans.
Ah, I see. Oh, so this was the official New
Kids. Yeah,
this wasn't just a fan club
that went,
guys, let's get organized. Let's get an office. Let's get a couple of temps in here. Let's make this happen. Let's get some faxes going out.
Well, if you're
going
to do that, remember to use Regis, where you can rent your office for only...
Are we sponsored by Regis?
We're sponsored by Regis now, yeah.
All right.
I had Regis when I was driving here.
Do you know what I think we should do? I think we should just have sponsors that we just make up and see if they'll just throw us a couple of bucks.
But they're real people.
Yeah.
We're not making them up.
Well,
Regis is an actual office rental company.
No, I understand. But I'm saying, David, do you know what I like? I like a refreshing Dr. Pepper once in a while. I really enjoy the cherry Dr. Pepper. That's quite delicious. I'll have one of those maybe once a week.
I like a Dr. Pepper. I don't like a Dr. Pepper Slurpee.
Okay, don't slam it. We're trying to get
I'm
the
not
fucking
slamming
sponsors.
Dr.
Stop it. Now you're slamming the 7-Eleven.
Yeah.
This is the positive spin. It's not the critical aspect of the show. I'm trying to push Dr. Pepper. Dr. Pepper, it's so many flavors in one. It feels like you're drinking all the goodness.
It's the drink of the South. There's probably less teeth per Dr. Pepper drinker.
Oh, we completely lost it. We lost it.
What?
We lost our sponsorship from Dr. Pepper.
I don't think so. They're too stupid to know that I said anything wrong.
Oh, yeah. Well, if you call them stupid, that's fine then.
Yeah. So, what are we talking about? So in this article, she's talking about renting
about your massive swelling.
She's talking about renting this office and had this mail in it. And so, of course, she's curious. So she started reading this mail.
Oh, that's illegal.
She was... She was.
That sounds like a federal offense.
What was horrifying to her was
breaking the law.
Was the fact that it wasn't from young kids.
Mm-hmm.
It was from middle-aged women.
Right.
And all it was the sexual propositions
mm-hmm.
to these young men.
Right.
And she just said...
So she stopped opening the mail because she thought, well, I really should not be seeing
these. Well, no, they were already open. She wasn't opening it. They were just open letters that were left in filing cabinets.
Oh, I understand. She wasn't like... The mail wasn't coming through the mail slot. Opening mail. Yeah.
This was the stuff that had been abandoned when the office had been abandoned.
Okay, here's my question on that. Why was the fan club keeping the sexually propositioning letters and not just getting rid of those?
I don't know.
Well, they must have been the good ones.
Must have just kept everything. I don't know. I don't know why.
I'm sure they couldn't keep everything.
I have no idea why.
New Kids on the Block was incredibly popular.
I'm sure it was.
Okay. So the sexual propositioning letters.
Yeah.
And was that a bad thing?
Well, to her it was because, you know, she's saying, well, basically what it is.
It's better than it was little kids with the creepy letters.
Well, I don't think little kids think of it that way, though. I don't think little kids would be writing creepy letters.
No, they wouldn't know.
So you have these teenage boys who are being propositioned by adults.
Okay.
Essentially, that's the situation, right? New Kids on the Block, they're not 20-year-olds, not 25-year-olds. They're teenage boys.
I do not know what age they were at the time.
So she was kind of comparing it to Michael Jackson as well, because she started talking about Michael Jackson's life as a performer. And she said, you know, if you think about the kind of horrible life that he had, not only as a child growing up with an abusive father, but then growing up in this entertainment industry where all it is around him is the sex and sexual propositions and people being, you know, what's the word? I'm like being, there's a word I can't think of right now, but being untoward? Not untoward, but you know what I mean? Like, no, I can't think of the word, but it's saying wrong things. Like, it's just inappropriate. Okay. They're being inappropriate. It wasn't an unword at all, apparently. It was an inword. Inappropriate. You know, it is this sort of inappropriate world. And so to her, she just saw him as someone who sort of withdrew from all that into this childhood.
Yeah, you want the innocence they never had.
Yeah.
Now, that makes some sense. Now, but my problem with that with the New Kids on the Block thing is because the New Kids on the Block were so manufactured. So manufactured. And nothing against a manufactured band. Yeah. I enjoy a Monkees.
You enjoy the Monkees.
Cannot get a more manufactured
band
than
that. You enjoy the Bay City Rollers. You enjoy an ABBA.
Let's not go crazy.
You enjoy...
Okay.
But you know what I mean? Like,
I do like an ABBA.
Yeah. Now, those are manufactured bands.
But here's the thing that I think is the problem with that. Is then you're going like, oh, look at all these letters we're getting from the ladies, the older ladies, you know, and probably some older gentlemen as well.
Yeah.
You know, you're getting all these things.
But not just letters, but, you know, they're meeting these people too. The same things are happening to them in person, not just through the mail.
I gotcha. But, I mean, normally the New Kids on the Block, I would assume, would have people around them that if a guy comes up and goes like, I want to blank your blank, they're going to get the old hard hand push away from, you know, the guy who's got no neck and the beefy arms, right?
Maybe.
Like, you're not going to get it from one of the New Kids on the Block. Here's my thing on this is like, well, this has been going on for as long as there's been rock and roll, right? So the system, there should be a system in place to protect the lads from this mail. Like, those kids should not be getting these letters.
It's a fan club.
Boom. So there you go. That's the filter.
Yeah.
So boom, that's taken care of. So it looks like, what's the problem? No problem. Problem solved. You know, if they turn, say, 18 or 19 and go like, you know, I'd like to read some of those letters. Hey, have at it, buddy. You know, this is welcome to groupie time in the city. Knock yourself out. Have you ever seen the Van Halen bus? You know, shenanigans go on in there. That's part of rock and roll as well. We're fine.
Sure.
Nothing new under the sun.
That's part of it. And I mean,
then we get consenting adults being freaky, in which case, God bless us, maybe you'll get a song out of it.
The Beatles went through that too. But I'm just using that as another example of why it would not be fun to be touring.
When you're saying inappropriate,
to like, you're thinking, gee, that sounds fun. 40-year-old women, 45-year-old women.
Well, because, it's not even fun.
Because you're in your 40s, so it sounds great.
It's not even fun. It's just what it is. You know, it's just like that's always been what it is. When you're saying it's inappropriate, it actually kind of feels like that's appropriate.
No,
like,
it's not appropriate. It's never appropriate for a person who is in their 40s to proposition a person in their teens.
How about, not teens, but like 20s or whatever. Like how old were the Beatles when the Beatles, you know, were really hitting it big with Love, Love Me Do? How old were they?
They were probably, I guess they would have been like their like 20. They'd be
boom.
Be
you're consent- 20. You're a consenting. 20-ish. You're a consenting adult. So that-
you are, but you. When I was 20, I wouldn't want people in their 40s coming on to me. In fact, that happened to me, and it's uncomfortable.
Well, it's okay, but your situation is different. Here's why. Because you're not.
Aren't I a human being? If you prick me, do I not bleed?
Okay, but here's what. Now I'm not going to.
If you pull in my trunk, do I not whimper?
I'm not going that you're in the you're asking for a situation.
I am not an animal, Ian. I am a human being.
Good on you. Now here's the thing. There's certain places where it's appropriate to say, like, be a young girl screaming, "I love you." Now, a place that would be appropriate would be a rock concert with a band that you enjoy,
and they can't hear you.
Well, or they can if you're sitting, if you're in the front row where you probably are too, and they're screaming over your shoulder, "I love you" at the band.
Yeah. They can't hear you, but
that's
anyway.
Appropriate. And here's the other thing: the band itself is making money off of sex. Mm-hmm. They're selling sex as well as their music. Mm-hmm. They're doing a sexy song. They've got the tight pants.
Oh yeah, the Beatles
they're
are sexy.
Doing the grinding. They're doing the whatever they're doing. They were sexy. They were doing the woo, like man. Yeah. That's what they're going for. Yeah. They're ripping off their Little Richard, but they're doing the thing. So like it's appropriate. Mm-hmm. That so I think like
well the scream was a ripoff a little but the head shake wasn't that was where they knew they were because they knew their hair would be flying and the girls would love that
adorable
so, yeah
okay but in a concert situation that's like a highly sexually charged situation mm-hmm. and so they're singing something sexual yeah. they're getting the feedback it's building
there were a lot of wet seats after Beatles concerts
okay well however you want
that's another fact
because there was
that's a fact
you know why they were sponsored by Dr. Pepper and sometimes they would spill the Dr. Pepper under their seats
there's a lot
Even in the 60s, Dr. Pepper was a fine drink.
There was a lot of
drink
pee.
For you and me.
There was a lot of pee that was released during Beatles concerts.
Sounds great.
And also during Ed Sullivan's show as well.
Well, yeah, because he was incontinent. We all know that.
he was
a really big diaper.
He was in America at that time. You're right.
You're right. Yeah. So, okay. So the concert setting of they're singing, they're screaming, that is an appropriate place for someone to scream, "I love you."
Yeah.
That might actually be an appropriate place for a girl in the audience to say "Flash Van Halen." That might be an appropriate place for the Van Halen to look over at their man, you know, going to one of the guys at the side and go like, "Hey, let's find out what the deal is with that girl."
Yeah.
That might be an appropriate place for that girl to go backstage. That might be appropriate, the things going on.
Sure.
Everyone's a consenting adult.
But
everyone's having a lovely time.
Sure.
That's not inappropriate.
She's probably not a consenting adult, but I'm sure what you're saying is
she was. She should be, otherwise legal problems. You know what I'm betting? I'm betting there is a guy at the door checking ID. I bet there is because you know what? If she's not a consenting adult, I bet there's three others who look a lot like her mm-hmm. who are consenting adults who we can get in here that have no legal problems.
Yeah.
This is a system for this kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So that's where I think you're wrong about the inappropriateness of it. I think they sell this. They get this back. If they like this, that's fine. And it's all consenting and knock yourself
well,
out.
Well, I mean...
Don't do it to teenagers.
But that's...
Clearly.
Yeah, that's
don't
what
send
I'm...
Miley Cyrus, you know, the dick pic.
People
you
do.
Know? I understand they do, and that's why you've got to have filters. That's why you got to have someone to chuck it into the bin.
When you think of, you know, okay, well, if you want to discount that from the Beatles experience, that's fine. But so the screaming, the threats, you know, the fact that they physically felt, you know, threatened.
Yeah.
The
but that's a sheer amount. Like, here's the thing about that.
A lot of that was kept away from them, but some of it was told to them because sometimes they had to know.
But Dave, here's
they had to know that okay, there's been a death threat. So what we're going to do today is we're going to create a situation where, you know, we're going to have some decoys, drive a car this way, and we're going to go that way, you know. So there's things that they
knew. And that is, you know, it's sad, but that is the price you pay for fame in that a certain amount of people in any number of people are nuts. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So you get 10 people, maybe there's going to be like one guy's a little weird.
Sure.
You get like a concert and you're filling out with thousands of people.
Sure.
You're going to get a couple of people there who are totally crackers.
Yeah.
That's just going to happen.
You know, and unfortunately for the Beatles, they paved the way for all this, like,
right,
you know, stadium tours
and of course with like what
international
happened
tours
eventually to John Lennon, of course
offending
yes,
Imelda Marcos.
The worst case scenario did occur, but you know, I mean, when it comes to like the sexual thing, I think that's just another thing. I mean, that's the risk you take with those kind of numbers. That sheer.
I'm not talking about the Beatles in that way. I don't think the Beatles were. I'm not saying the Beatles were innocent of that. I mean, they had prostitutes in you know when they were in Hamburg, and you know they had lots of girls backstage, and there was lots of payoffs, and there's lots of hush money thrown around by, you know, through the Beatles time. And, you know, they had a carefully crafted image that lasted
and
them
Dave,
a good long time.
When you're saying those chairs were wet, you know what they call that stuff?
What?
That was love, love me do.
There you go.
That's what they called it. It was covered in just love, love me do.
And so... But so that was part of it. Then, yeah, the fact that when they're playing...
Wouldn't it be funny, can I just say, sorry, I just pictured, like, the Ed Sullivan show, and you have all the girls screaming, and you cut to Ed Sullivan, and he's screaming just like them, just off the side. Oh, very
all the,
deep voice
all
up
the
until
money
that
he
point.
Was making.
Oh.
I've got them signed for 3 shows. Ooh.
And I also have Wayne and Schuster on tonight. Things couldn't get better.
Jackie Mason was on the first Beatles.
And so was Wayne
that's
Schuster.
Where he, that's where he did his famous fingering the audience, and why he got banned from Ed Sullivan.
Oh, good job, Jackie. Well done.
He said he didn't, but if you watch the performance, it very much looks like he fingered the...
I give you the finger.
That's basically what he said.
Yeah.
Because when he was trying to do his act, the girls were screaming. And so rather than play, you know, in those days, I guess, you know, you didn't have that kind of, you know, okay, I'm just going to play along with this. The girls, you know, the Beatles are here. I'm going to make some Beatle jokes. You know, I'm going to make some fun of the girls that are da-da-da. He wants to do his whole act. I've got my thing all set up. The guy saw me do this act, and I'm going to do it for you because I did it in the, you know, I did it in the Borscht Belt, and I'm going to do it for you. But, and no, you're not, because these girls are going to scream, and they're going to yell, and they're going to put you off your rhythm. And
you know what? No one's going to care because, you know, you remember the bit that Wendy and Schuster did that night? No one does. No one cares. It's fine.
No one cares about any bits that they did.
No one cares about...
Except for the Julie. Hey, Julie. That's the one.
Julie Don't Go the Baseball?
The Julius Caesar parody with like a film noir.
Oh, right. But they also did Shakespearean Baseball.
Oh, okay.
Which was quite popular. They were on Ed Sullivan more than anyone else.
Yeah.
So they not did
more than Topo
right.
Gigio, but they were on a lot.
Wait a minute. Are you sure? More than Topo?
Topo Gigio is on almost every show, I believe.
Oh, I think Wayne and Schuster holds the records for the most appearance.
I don't think so, Eddie.
Okay, I can't do an impression of Johnny Wayne or Frank Schuster. Otherwise, sir, I would.
You can just do them. Hey, remember your little trick from last week? You can repeat it for your...
I could, but I'm not. I don't repeat myself. You know why? Because I'm an artist.
No, you're not.
No,
so
really.
It.
No. Wait, now I can't. Wait, you've reversed... I don't know. Dave, it's very late.
I think it would go everything like this. So the other thing was the fact that they couldn't hear themselves while they're playing. I mean, there's a recording of them playing their final concert at Candlestick Park. And John Lennon, he's just playing the keyboards with like his whole arm. He's just pounding up and down at it. He's singing lyrics that are absolute nonsense. Cause, you know, he just knew that they couldn't hear him. He's like cursing away on stage. He's doing whatever. They couldn't hear it. So it didn't matter. And they couldn't perform the songs that they were doing. Like they're out touring Revolver, but they can't play any of the songs from Revolver. Most of the songs they're playing are all from their first albums because that's concert material. The stuff from Revolver and Rubber Soul is way too complicated to do live. So I think that frustrated them too. And George Harrison absolutely refused to tour anymore after that last tour. Mm-hmm. He was the one that put his foot down and would not tour anymore. Like Paul McCartney probably still would have toured. Like it's Paul McCartney. He lives for people applauding, right?
Yeah.
John Lennon, I think, was indifferent. I mean, you know, he was in a...
How did Ringo feel?
Ringo was whatever. Ringo is the drummer. Drummers have no say. And John Lennon, I think, you know, he's in an unhappy marriage, so what the hell, you know, if I'm going to go on a 3-month tour, I don't care. I'm going to get away from Cynthia and this little brat. So, you know, he didn't care. It was only George. George was like, nope, I'm not touring anymore. And I'm going to leave the group. He was going to leave the group.
Okay.
And so they, you know, reached a sort of compromise. Okay, well, we'll keep working, but we'll just
do it as
the next
album would have been called By George.
By George, that's right. I don't know if there would have been. I don't think there would have been a Beatles album if George left. They would have been done. Yeah. I don't think you couldn't have the Beatles without George.
And what album would that have been? That would have been Revolver?
Would have been Sgt. Pepper's.
Would have been Sgt. Pepper's they would have ended on.
Yeah. No. So Revolver would have been the last album. The next album was Sgt. Pepper.
Oh, interesting. Okay. Yeah. Well, a lot of people think Revolver was the best album.
Yeah, some do.
So they could have ended on top.
But Sgt.
Maybe they would have really gone somewhere.
Well, Revolver is a better album, but Sgt. Pepper is the more, what's the word, more...
Good.
It's like I was stuck in traffic today and my brain is fried. It was more like
complete full picture, full meal deal.
No. It was more revolutionary, more revolutionary. Like it was more, you know, it brought more to the table. Like Revolver had the better songs, mm-hmm. but in terms of technology and moving ahead, like Revolver or Sgt. Pepper was recorded in kind of an 8-track. They put together 2 4-track machines and synced them together so they could record an 8-track. And, you know, it had tons of revolutionary elements to it. And I think as an album, I think we're just tired of it, so we don't feel like we can say anything nice about it anymore. You know, it's going to come back again, and it's going to overtake Revolver eventually as, like, people's favorite Beatle album. It's just...
It seems a bit obvious to
we're
say
we're just kind of,
like,
yeah, we're just... We're just wary of... We're just tired of...
Also,
of
the Bee Gees movie really threw us off for a while.
Yeah, there. You know, once you have George Burns sing a song. Well, actually, that wasn't all Sgt. Pepper, though, because there were songs from...
That was true.
Because there was other songs from the whole part of their career, because Aerosmith did Come Together, and... I don't know. I can't remember what Steve Martin. He did Maxwell Silver
Steve
Hammer,
Martin,
right?
Maxwell Silver Hammer. Yeah. We could go down the whole list, but we're not going to.
Sorry.
You know, like you can mention that film. You can mention that film once in a while. Now, speaking of films, though. Okay, so you got your girls who would like go to a concert and they would scream and go nuts.
Yeah.
Now, when the Beatles did like A Hard Day's Night, the film.
I think they probably screamed.
They screamed too. In the movie theater. Mm-hmm. So you're trying to watch your movie and, oh, I came on Young Girls Night.
Yeah. Oh. I think for A Hard Day's Night, I think by the time Help came out, that element of the was starting to fade.
Okay, but like with Hard Day's Night, would it have been weird for them, like the girls, the screamy girls who are used to scream?
Yeah.
Do you scream then during the comedy bits? Like, because it's
well,
very
I think
funny
you would just scream when you saw the Beatles.
Also, here's the weird thing: when you're seeing like you're screaming girls.
Yeah.
I'm a screaming girl, and I'm watching the movie, and a movie starts with screaming girls.
Yeah.
And the screaming girls are screaming. Now, do I scream too, or do you go like, "Hey, are they making fun of it? Are this pro screaming girl?
Well, what do you mean? The other screaming girls are screaming, or the ones in the movie that are
I'm
screaming?
I'm going like, you're a screaming girl, and yeah. you go to a movie, and you're watching screaming girls on screen.
Yeah.
Do you keep screaming? Oh.
Brother, that is a sisterhood that you're watching there. That is, you know, it's true, because
I like brother, that is a sisterhood.
If you, you know, I have some experience with One Direction fandom.
Okay.
You know, because my daughters went through that.
So you're saying One Direction is the new Beatles?
No, I'm not saying they're the new Beatles, but I'm saying that
Who is the fifth One Direction member? Or are there five
Zayn.
Members?
Yeah, Zayn is the fifth member.
Who's the sixth?
I don't know.
Huh?
Simon, I guess.
That's a discussion people will be having in 20 years on whatever the future of podcasting is.
Simon would be no, because he's a manager. He can't be. I don't know who their musical director is. I'm going to have to watch their movie.
Who's the George Martin at the group?
I know the girls will make me watch the movie when it comes out. They've already seen it in the theater twice, but I know that they'll make me watch it.
Was it in
3D? Yes, it was in 3D.
Oh, if only the Beatles could have
had it in 3D. She was in 5D. They saw it in 1D and they saw it in 3D, to be honest, to be fair. Because actually, my daughters aren't huge fans of 3D.
What, they saw it in 1D?
They saw it as a flat.
That's not 1D.
Isn't it?
No, that's 2D.
Why is it 2D?
Because it's lengthwise and up and down. If they saw it in 1D,
flat.
No, you wouldn't
it's
be able to flat. See it. It would be a straight line. They just look at a straight line. They couldn't see a
no,
thing.
No, that's 1D.
No, that's not 1D
flat.
At all.
It's a flat screen.
No.
Yeah, that's
not
1D.
No. What do you think two dimensions are?
One dimension.
Right, completely incorrect.
Two dimensions.
Factually, mathematically incorrect,
not even
debatable.
No.
As they say, there's math and everything else is debatable. That is not debatable.
Play is two dimensions. Because it has depth.
No, sir.
Yes,
no, sir, it does not.
Yes, it does. So
I stand not corrected.
So what I know from that is that the girl...
People are yelling at you right now.
No, they're not. They're agreeing with me.
Because people listen to this show in groups. They huddle together. If there's one thing we've learned, it's like one or two people listen to it while they're getting dressed on the way to work. But the rest of them listen to it in groups of families, while they're cooking dinners. They listen to it in groups, and they all look at each other and go like, Dave's wrong, right? And like, yeah, he really is. Should I write a sternly worded letter? And it's like, no, he'll never respond.
True.
And then they yell at their podcast.
Mentally around me and just a big gesture of brotherhood, sister.
Trying to shake you. Shake you sane.
Nope.
Okay, so anyway. Right. You were so saying One
say,
Direction for the fifth
I was just going to say before you interrupted me, was with my daughters, that I, you know, that's my one experience with that kind of like fandom over, you know, I'm in love with those boys and they're also handsome and isn't Leah or Niall beautiful, isn't Harry so such and such and oh,
take
Louis's
your second
so funny.
Drink of the night.
I'm going to have a drink here.
It's good to have a drink while you're thinking about those handsome boys.
Yeah, yeah. I'm sorry, I squeezed the bottle a few times while I did it. So what I noticed with them is that, like, because, you know, obviously they have a different kind of bond because of, you know, Twitter and stuff and Tumblr and things. But, you know, there's a real bond between all these, you know, all the Wendiers or whatever they call themselves. You know, they just all, you know, are together and they love, you know, they can all talk together and, you know, so they're not jealous of each other. They're not jealous of those girls on the screen who are getting to scream at the Beatles. They are lucky enough to be there screaming for the Beatles. These girls are lucky enough to be in a theater screaming for the Beatles, but those girls are even luckier. They're not jealous. I mean, they're maybe a little jealous of them, but there's still that sense of, yes, the same way that, you know, I imagine that a woman who really wanted to get married would feel at her friend's marriage, you know, it'd be like, yes, this can happen for me. I'm next, you know?
Do you know what I think was good for that era, but was not good for now with your One Directions? It was a good era for not attractive guys. Because as a non-attractive guy, you look like one of the Beatles.
Are you talking to me? You're talking to me, right? I'm a non-attractive guy.
No, because you were not alive
then
when the Beatles started. Not when they started.
Okay.
When your Hard Day's Night,
I was a mere gleam in my father's penis.
There you go. That's a direction I did not want to go in.
It was One Direction.
I understand. That was my reference. You are not an attractive guy unless you're really kind of an overweight fella back at the time.
Yeah.
You look like one of the Beatles. You can make yourself.
Are you still talking to me?
You're either like a Four Eyes, in which case go full John. You know, you're kind of like a little bit of a chubby face fellow with big weird eyes. You can be a Paul.
Yeah.
You're kind of you're a skinny weirdo. George it up.
Okay.
And hey, Johnny Big Nose.
Weirdo.
You know, hey, Johnny Big Nose and Big Ears. Ringo, welcome to Ringo Town.
Yeah.
You know, there's always someone to look like. But in a One Direction, Lordy, lordy, they're all a bunch of handsome magoos. Yeah. You can't play that. So, fuck it. You're screwed. You want your band to be a little bit ugly. That's why it's a nice, like, the Rolling Stones.
Well, then you're in the Shins or something like that.
Yeah, well, like, you're Rolling Stones. Nice, ugly band there. You know, at a concert after Rolling Stones, that guy looks a bit like Mick Jagger. Maybe I got a shot, says the guy who looks like, you know, Keith Richards.
But you say that, but the girls thought that Mick Jagger was handsome. Girls were madly in love with Brian Jones.
Oh, of course
madly
they were. You would not be in love with Mick. Okay, Mick Jagger. Mick Jagger is not a musician. Mick Jagger's the janitor at your school.
Why? Oh, okay.
Let's go with that scenario. A guy looks like Mick
Jagger. Are you talking about him then or now?
Then. Let's go then.
He was a handsome guy then.
Oh, I don't know if he'd be screamies. I think you have that guy singing about sex.
Yeah.
Now all of a sudden, ooh, that elevates it. The art elevates it up, and then you're fine.
The sex art.
Yeah. I mean, Ringo. Yeah. Ringo's going to be getting some action back then? No, Ringo. Well, won't. I think maybe because he's funny. He better be funny.
But Ringo was the one who got the girls were the girls thought of him as like they were his mother. You know what I mean? Like he was the one that the girls loved in that way.
Oh, there's a lot of issues you can tap into.
Yeah.
You can do a lot of fun. But like that's why it was nice. Was like having good ugly bands back then. Was like you had like you know Beatles. The handsomest guy in the group is Paul, and even he's not a huge looker.
No.
Like you know, and then again Rolling Stones. You know there. Then you got your the Who. Bunch of real uggos in that thing. You know, it's just like every band's, you know, then moving on to Aerosmith in the 70s, like, terrible, terrible looking faces in that. But every band like that that comes out,
it's
a lovely time for an ugly guy just goes, I look like Steven Tyler. Hello.
It's hard because it's, you know, when you say I look like Steven Tyler, when you're saying that, you're thinking of Steven Tyler.
No, I'm going back then. Even then he was like, wasn't that bad looking face.
Well, he had big lips, but he wasn't like he wasn't ugly.
But you know, let me tell you, when it comes to popularity, okay, here's the thing: you can have like a handsome Pete, you know,
yes,
you know, but if you want deep, like ooh, that kind of thing, you need a guy to be a bit ugly. That's the same thing with like women in film today. You look at the women who star in films and are very very successful for the most part, with the exception of like a Scarlett Johansson. But like for the most part, they got a little something wrong with them. You got like a Julia Roberts, you know, she's a weird face,
with her arm growing out of her side.
You got a Sandra Bullock or something. They look a little odd.
And that those, extra leg.
Yeah, you want something a little bit off that just makes everything
you think
else.
Sandra look good. Bullock is a little bit off.
Yeah, she's got a little. She's a little weird looking.
Well, now, but when she was Demolition Man.
Yeah, I think in Demolition Man,
she was absolutely gorgeous in that movie.
Yeah, but she looks weird. She's got a whole bunch of mouth, like too much mouth.
No.
Oh well, that's wrong. Then we're gonna have to disagree.
Well, yeah, it's obviously subjective, but I think you're absolutely wrong.
Well, there we go. You're the guy who doesn't know the difference with dimensions. So what are you gonna do?
I know the difference between dimensions.
I'm just saying.
Up and away in my. That's the fifth dimension.
Oh, nice one. Yeah. Also, you were going up, which is a direction.
Mm.
Well played. Anyway, that's just my theory about true attractiveness. You know, you've got to have something be a little bit weird. That's why, like, you know, people enjoy a George Clooney, but you like a guy who looks a little bit strange. That's who you like, and that's who the people really, like, glam onto. That's what I like to think is a guy who looks a little strange. I just hope. My hope is just that Lloyd Cole keeps, you know, making albums and resurges in popularity because that's the guy who I look a little bit like.
Is that right? You have the Lloyd Cole.
I got a bit of a Lloyd
Cole. Modern Lloyd Cole or 80s Lloyd Cole.
Do you know what we both?
Is it Rattlesnakes era Lloyd Cole or album? I don't know because I didn't bother buying it. Lloyd Cole.
Occasionally, here's what I do. I will check online to see how Lloyd Cole is aging.
Yeah.
Just to see how I'm doing.
Okay.
And I go like, yeah, he's getting the same amount of gray as me. Yeah, he's doing that. Always getting that going. Yeah. Okay, that's the thing.
Yeah.
All right, and I go, all right, I mean he's you know, he's like he's got famous face.
I don't know
as
if
well.
You want to just, you know, compare yourself to a man who, you know, lives a Scottish lifestyle.
And I was born probably with Scottish genes. I don't know where I'm from, but odds are it's Scotland. I'm gonna take what I get.
Yeah,
I'm gonna look like a bagpipe at some point in my life. This is what's gonna happen. We all go full.
Happens to all Scottish men.
Yeah, we all end up, like, if you live a good long life, eventually you and the Loch Ness Monster side by side, not much difference.
No one can tell the difference.
That's what I think the Loch Ness Monster is. It's just eventually an old man that falls into the lock, and they're like, oh, there he is. And it's like, no, it's one guy. Or if you see the hump in the middle, it's two guys.
Mm.
It's one guy's belly, one guy's head. They're floating out there together.
Flailing, trying to get to shore.
That's right. And they're like, oh, the monster.
Terrible current.
There it is.
I saw the monster when I was there.
Oh, did you?
Oh, yeah.
What happened? Tell us, sir.
Well, it's the same monster you see at any lake. it has a wind blowing, it gets that curious wave pattern going that gives you that serpentine look in the water, and you go, oh, look, there's the Loch Ness Monster.
My friend Carrie is originally
from... And then he threw up. I mean, Phyllis threw up.
My friend Carrie is originally from Scotland.
She did throw up driving around Loch Ness. It's a very windy...
I think we've told that story.
Did I?
With the dress and the holding...
No, that's a long time ago.
Another vomiting story.
She doesn't travel well.
I understood. But my friend Carrie was watching Gregory's Girl. She's Scottish.
Gregory's Girl.
That's right. And
hi, Gregory.
And she was watching it, and she swears that there's a version of the movie that she was watching where they toned down the accents, North Americanized the accents
there is a bit one.
More, so that they could be understood. This exists.
Yeah.
Well, that's terrible. I object to
that. And it was done by people who weren't Scottish.
Well, I'm happy to hear this because this is
fake accents, and it's about two people doing all the voices. Mm. So almost all the voices sound slightly alike if you watch that film.
Is one of the people the guy that does the voice of Scrooge McDuck?
Maybe. No, it wasn't Ellen, whatever his name was. It's Ellen something. I know what you're talking about.
Oh, Webbergale.
Oh, but no, but they all, if you watch the movie.
Yeah, which I have.
And I've never seen the Scottish film. The one that the North American version is the one with all the fake accents.
No.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, balls.
Yeah.
Well, I feel terrible.
Man. And it's basically two or three people. Like almost all the women, especially the girls, sound alike. They all have that, Gregory. No. And all the guys sound very similar to each other because they're basically played by two to three actors.
I feel absolutely terrible now that I have not heard the original
version. I would love to see the original. I don't know if it's available in, probably available as a region 3 or whatever it is.
Yeah. Or, you know, we live in a land where there are computers. Now, listen,
that is illegal.
Okay, but brother, I'm going to tell you something.
And immoral.
I have seen the film.
And fattening.
I have seen the film on VHS.
I have too.
I have bought it as well. I have bought it on DVD.
Do you know why I wanted to see it? I got a really good review on Siskel and Ebert at the movies.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
Was that the original, the first one called? Sneak Previews. No, at the movies was the first one.
It was Sneak Previews, then it was at the movies, then it was Siskel and Ebert.
Sneak Previews, that's when right. I saw it on,
And it had the same theme song as Max the 2000-Year-Old Mouse.
Oh.
It's the same theme song. Anyway, but I've purchased this film, I have rented this film, and I have been unaware, sir, that I have been watching a bogus version. A
bowdlerized version, yeah, because they felt that people would not be able to understand the thick accents.
So, sir, I say to you that I feel I am morally in the right to download...
Don't say that word.
...the Scottish...
Just say DL.
All right, keep it on the DL.
Keep it on the DL.
Keep it on the DL, Hughley. I will DL.
Is it really pronounced Hughley?
I don't know.
That was Hughley.
Who cares?
Okay.
They gave him another show, and then they give him another show, and they give him another show, and just let go. It doesn't work.
Yes, terrible suits.
It does not work.
Terrible suits.
Okay. Fair enough. Is he one of the kings of comedy?
I think so, isn't he?
I don't know. If I'm wrong, then I'm racist. I'll put a
kings of comedy. There. John Coltrane, Miles Davis.
That's right.
Duke Ellington.
And Elvis, because he's the king.
And Louis Armstrong.
That's right. Absolutely. And they were the original of One Direction.
That's right. Yes, One Direction, out of town.
Would women scream at jazz?
I don't know if they'd scream at jazz, but they got people who played jazz certainly
got
some.
Oh, they got a lot of action.
They got
action,
yeah.
But is it just like, you could tell because the women are in the audience seductively snapping, and you go like,
That was strictly a beatnik thing, not a jazz thing.
Oh, it's not, you would not snap at a jazz
club? You snapped at beatnik clubs because you weren't allowed to applaud. It was too noisy for the tenants.
Oh, okay.
That's why snapping became a...
I like it. Okay. So people would, like, I'm just wondering when the screaming started.
I guess probably for Elvis had some screams.
Probably.
But I think a full-on crazy mania, once again, the Beatles.
That was where it began.
Yeah.
You would not have had screaming at, like, old Shakespeare days. You would not have had, like, Hamlet comes out and, like,
It depends who played him, I guess. Depends who played him.
Hmm.
Someone was really a big fan. If it was, what's his name? David, Garage? David... What's his name? The famous actor. There's
David
a club.
N. Goliath?
There's a famous club named after him in London.
Okay.
The Garlic. Mm-hmm. But anyway.
I really want you to keep going with this.
But you know, an example of a musician who was very popular in his day and had like women swooning was Pagliacci. I think that's the name of the violin player. And he played, you know, he would purposely play like really complicated parts and high notes and stuff like that.
Isn't Pagliacci the clown?
I think he is the clown. I can't remember the name of the violin player I'm thinking of now. Sorry.
I always hated that Pagliacci story.
Yeah,
did I mention that?
You're right.
On the
it is Pagliacci because there's that great version by Homer and Jethro, the of Pagliacci with Spike Jonze. Do you know that one?
No.
Oh, it's very good. Very funny.
Here's my Pagliacci problem.
Okay.
And I don't have it mentioned on the show before. If so, I'll say it quickly and we'll go through it.
Sure.
Which is like, there's the old thing about, you know, a guy goes to the psychiatrist and goes, I'm so depressed, I want to kill myself. Uh-huh. And the psychiatrist goes, you should go see Pagliacci. He's in town tonight. He's hilarious. He'll make you laugh. Mm. You should go see him. You'll love it. And he goes, I am Pagliacci.
Can I ask you, is this a problem with this, the fact that it's anachronistic? There were no psychiatrists during the era of Pagliacci?
No, that's not the problem.
Oh, okay.
Okay, thank you. That was good for the rhythm of the joke. So,
well, I didn't know it was the Ian Boothby show.
Why did the chicken cross the road? Well, sir, I would like one question for you. Now, here's my problem with that. It's like, let's say...
I just want all the kids to know that they should cross at a crosswalk.
You know what? Then let's make it a doctor. So the guy goes to the doctor, goes, doctor, I'm feeling depressed. And a doctor says, you should go see Pagliacci. Mm-hmm. And the guy goes, I am Pagliacci. And that's where it ends. And we're all supposed to go like, aw. Because who makes the clown laugh?
Yeah.
You know, and instead, I always thought like, you see, the clown would like go like, but by the way, thanks for plugging my act, man. Like, I appreciate just like this, the word of mouth. That's really nice. You really cheered me up. Knowing like, hey, you know what? Doctors are recommending my work to people who are feeling bad.
You're right. But what he should actually say is the doctor says to him, you should really go see. There's a clown in town. People are really liking it. And what Pagliacci should say is, oh, really? What are they saying? That is what he would really say.
He knows it's positive.
No, but you want to hear your press. There's no way that no one wants to hear what people are actually saying about him. What are they saying?
Yeah, if he doesn't care,
he's pretending he's not Pagliacci. He's like, really, who is this Pagliacci you're talking about, and what are they saying about this guy?
Well, they say he's really great, and let me just check your insurance forms here. And we go like, wait a minute. So what did the guy do? Was he paying by cash? Like, he just came in with a fistful of cash?
He was fucking paying by fucking cash because this was in the fucking 19th century.
Okay, well, here's the other problem with that. So you've come to town, you should be rehearsing your show, and you've decided to go to a doctor.
I'm still aggravated over traffic.
No, I understand.
Okay, go on with your story. I'm fuming.
Do you know what you should have done?
Yeah.
You should have just cranked up some Beatles and just started screaming in the car.
I didn't have any Beatles. I should have. I wish I had some Beatles.
Always have some Beatles with you.
I really should.
You never know.
I should put together a compilation of Beatles songs.
You know how they say, like,
for traffic,
what album would you
drive my car?
Yep, there you go. Yeah. And why don't we do it in the road?
Why don't we do it in the road?
And beep beep, that song that goes beep beep.
That's Drive My Car.
No, just this song called Beep Beep.
The other song that goes beep beep.
No, you don't know. There was a Roadrunner movie that the Beatles did the theme song for.
Okay.
And it was beep, like beep. It was called the Beep Beep Beatles.
Okay.
That's what it was called.
There was the song Fixing a Car.
There's the old thing about like what album would you bring? If you could only bring one album
To
a desert island, you would bring one that was the size of a boat and the shape of a boat and it would float off on it.
That's a G.K. Chesterton joke, because was he asked what book would he bring to a desert island? It was How to Build a Boat.
How to Build a Boat. Yeah. Absolutely. But you should think of that in your car and like in your glove compartment, have your emergency CD.
It's like, Beatles.
Listen, you know, at some point you're going to be caught in traffic.
Yeah.
Buddy, I'm going to put on the old song and I'm going to sing and I'm going to have a good time. And so I will not bum out our listeners.
Yeah.
Because Dave, these listeners, they were talking to me. No, they were talking to me earlier.
Oh, okay.
And they said to me,
yeah,
they were feeling depressed. And I said to them,
they woke up this morning.
There's a podcast. Da-da-da-da. There's a podcast out there.
Okay.
That will cheer you up.
And it's called Stop Podcasting Yourself?
Yeah. It's called something else.
It's pretty good. It's a good show.
It's a pretty good show. I can't recommend it enough.
To our listeners.
That's right.
Yeah. Stop listening to Sneaky Dragon.
You can listen to both.
No.
You got all the time in the world. You're stuck in traffic like Dave. Probably. Here's the thing. There's probably people listening to this who are stuck in traffic currently.
And we're helping them along through our shenanigans and japeries.
No, they're probably getting more depressed because they're going like, oh, man, Dave's bummed about traffic. If Dave can't find any joy in this, well, I sure can't.
What these
Blam! There goes the bullet through the temple. I don't know why they brought a gun in the car. They should have had the Beatles with them instead.
They should have had the Beatles.
But yeah.
But happiness is a warm gun.
I'm just
That's the problem when, you know,
yeah, that they're just song taking is a misleading. Sharp turn on the bridge and going
Such
up.
Such a misleading song title. They had the warm gun in the car with them instead of the album.
The weirdest bridge to be stuck on for me is the one just at Stanley Park. What's it? Lionsgate Bridge.
Lionsgate Bridge, yes.
Just because I've seen it in too many movies now.
Okay.
Where horrible things have happened on that bridge.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Such as
your Final Destination 5's.
What happened?
I believe.
What happened to it?
The bridge collapses in a horribleness.
Oh,
it's terrible.
That is terrible.
The guy has a premonition, like that, the bridge is going to collapse, and he sees it all in graphic detail, and I think there's like some sort of, I don't know, like someone's carrying acid, and it just burns a guy. It's just people are melting and they're falling off
on the bridge.
Oh, it's terrible.
This is the Final Destination.
Yeah, Final Destination 5. But okay. It's a premonition, because every Final Destination starts with the guy saying like, "Oh, I shouldn't get on there," and then you don't get on there, and then Death goes, "Ooh, I'll get you." So he doesn't get on the bridge, but then the actual stuff happens, and then it's all Rube Goldberg style, the ball falls down, hits this, does this, and then all of a sudden you're sawed in half.
Falls in the cat's tail, cat jumps up, lands in the fridge falls down and crushes you because you were too busy.
Absolutely.
Washing the floor.
Absolutely. That's what happens.
Yeah.
So if you, for good fun, if you want to watch that bridge go down, that is, that's on YouTube.
Okay.
And you don't have to then pay the nice folks who made the movie any money.
The nice folks.
Because I think generally I'm saying I don't want to give people who make movies any money anymore.
Well, I think what you're saying is people who make a fifth version of a film aren't nice folks.
Ah, very good.
Yeah.
Unless it's like...
Nope.
Okay.
What were you going to say, sir?
I was going to say one of the Marvel series of movies. I think we're like at least 8 deep now.
Do you want to see Captain America 5?
I want to see Captain America 2.
Yeah, but do you want to see Captain America 5?
But here's you go. You've had 3 Iron Mans. You've had 2 Thors. Yeah. That brings us up to 5. You've got your Hulk. You can maybe 2 Hulks if you want. That brings us up to 7. Your Avengers. That's 8.
Mm-hmm.
So we're way.
I don't think you can connect them all.
We
got that way,
Captain
though.
America's. We're going to be like 10. Captain America is going to be
them
the
10.
They can't connect
them all that
sir,
way.
Sir, they do. That's
they're,
the 10th movie.
They're all written by different people, directed by different people.
Indeed. Well, so are the James Bond movies.
Yeah. Yeah. I wouldn't include the James Bond movies in that either.
Okay.
Now, if there was 5 versions of Goldfinger, yeah, then I would be.
Oh, I would love to see 5 versions of Goldfinger.
Is that right?
I'd love to see a movie called 5 versions of Goldfinger.
The 5 versions of Goldfinger? Why,
yeah, it's
why would you want
makes
to see
a whole
that?
Hand.
Oh, okay.
Now you got a gold hand. And that's scary. You know how hard the finger guy was.
Yeah.
Now you got a fucking whole hand
he
coming at you.
He looked pretty soft to me.
You know who he looked like? Rob Ford. He looks almost exactly like Rob Ford. You watch him in the movie and you're like, geez, that guy like completely forwarded.
Yes.
Now, Dave, we should probably wrap up pretty soon.
I think we should. I think we're...
Now, this
I feel like the steam is running out of this particular traffic jam.
Oh, what? That is a terrible metaphor.
I threw it together to say that.
All right. Well, there you go.
It's just the way my mind works. I just brilliant that way.
I can see you building Legos as a child, and I'm just going crazy.
Yeah.
So next week, I'm going to be doing two different...
I went crazier than a bat in a cage full of monkeys.
Yeah.
Once again, just a brilliant thing. Yeah. I'm just able to bring these analogies out like
sure.
that.
Sure. Yeah. That's good stuff.
Yeah.
You know, next time, just pick one direction. All right. So this
one dimension, you mean? Like a movie.
Yeah, all right. Okay. Either way, I'll go. Okay. One dimension, one direction.
Sure.
All right.
You want to do some plugging?
I wish I had the power of the fifth dimension, which was time, so I could go back and stop this. But then I'd be the doctor. Anyway, looking forward to that doctor thing this weekend. Okay. We'll probably discuss the new Doctor Who thing.
Shoot, we were supposed to talk about that this week.
Were we?
Yeah, well. We had a listener ask if we're going to
All
talk
right,
about
we'll
it.
Talk super fast after I do these
plugs. No, we'll talk about it next week after the big show. Big shoe.
All right. Yeah. All right. Let me say one thing I would love to see though, which is you've seen Timothy Dalton is one of the Time Lords, right? Like in a past episode. What I would love to see is him get killed and then regenerate as Pierce Brosnan.
Yeah.
That would be fantastic. And then if you just you go like, oh, was he them all the time? Yeah, before that, he was Roger Moore. And it's like, oh, now you got the two British things that are constantly regenerating. Parallel, oh, it'd be beautiful. Anyway.
That's crazier than a duck managing a sausage factory.
So
once
anyway.
Again, brilliant analogies.
You know what? When you go senile,
no one will notice.
It's fine. You're doing it. You're laying the pipe down now. We're just like, Dave's always been like this. Listen to this podcast from 2013, they'll say. I'm like, well, clearly he's still as sharp as he ever was. So you'll never get put in the home.
There's guys I knew from high school listening and they're just going, Dedrick, you don't need drugs.
That's what they said.
I got that a lot as a teenager.
Yeah, it was terrible. They said that when you're going through chemo. It's like, I think I do. Anyway, I'm not going to listen to doctors. These guys from high school say I'm fine.
That was my crazy naturopathic relative who told my mom that I didn't need drugs.
Yeah, just suck on a peppermint stick.
Eat lots of carrots, and she should bring fresh stream water. Like, go down the creek, get fresh water, and bring it home, and then that would be fine. I wouldn't need any chemo.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, then bury you under the carrot patch, and then put some nice fresh water on that. You can have a great thing of carrots that year.
You know where we lived, so you know how available fresh... creek water was.
Yeah, creek water. Like, I would not, if there was a bottle and it said creek water, would you drink it?
Depends where I was.
No, if there was a bottle and on the bottle it was labeled creek water, would you go like, num num, or would you
What
go,
if it was like virgin creek water?
Virgin creek water?
Yeah.
Oh, what's
Or
that?
If it was like If it was like Sunnydale Creek water. Sunnydale's a bad, because you're thinking of the TV show, so I shouldn't say that. How about if it was like Sunny Valley Creek water? Uh-huh. Would you not drink it then?
No, it's too sunny in that valley. It's going to get
stagnant.
Stagnant. Yeah, yeah. It's terrible. It's full of mosquitoes, probably.
And if you looked at it, if it was brown, you wouldn't drink it.
No, if you brown, chug it down. If it's black, heart attack. That's what they say. I'm really trying to plug
it's black,
my shows.
Send it back.
Well, unfortunately, that was a Simpsons joke. So
oh,
I
was
didn't
it? Oh,
do
sorry,
that.
I didn't
that's
know
right.
That. Shoot.
That's okay. The Simpson rule of water. If it's brown, okay. Drink it down. If it's black, send it back. Okay.
Okay, I didn't know that.
Next week, David.
Next week.
Next week. Next
on
Tuesday.
The show. On
no,
the show.
No, no. Forget the show. Fuck the show. I don't care about the show no more.
Okay.
I'm talking about my live performances right now, okay?
On Sneaky Dragon.
No. Oh. No, this is other things I'm doing.
Okay, I'm sorry.
I'm doing the anniversary show of Show Us Your Wits, which is going to be happening at Café du Soleil on next Tuesday.
Okay.
I'm not sure what the exact date would be for that, but it'd be something.
Tuesday.
It's a Tuesday.
Yeah.
And that's at 8 o'clock. And I'll be doing improv with the Fictionals, who are lads and lasses that started
26.
We'll be to 26?
Yeah.
Sounds good. Okay, so we're going to be doing improv comedy. A lot of fun. And you're like, that's enough improv comedy? Wait, Dave, there's more.
There's
a gal named...
Sneaky Dragon?
No, no.
Oh, shoot.
Better.
Okay.
It's a girl named Connie Cahoots.
Okay.
And let me tell you, Dave, she takes off her clothes to music.
Is that right?
In a burlesque style.
Oh.
Which means it's not sexist. It's empowering.
Okay. I gotcha.
That's right.
It involves no brass pole?
I don't know if it does. There might be a brass pole there. She might bring
own. Isn't that sexist?
No, it's empowering.
But it's a phallic symbol.
I know it is, but it might be a lightning rod, and lightning might hit, and that's empowering. So anyway, it's empowering. We're going to be doing some empowering sexiness.
That would be empowering.
Comedy, and that's going to be at Café du Soleil, and that's on Tuesday. And then Wednesday, we've got the Critical Hit Show, last Wednesday
of
the month.
I've heard of that.
That's, there you are. Yeah. And we're going to be fully bringing in a new character. We have had her hinted at in the past.
Yeah.
But there's going to be a new character in there. Good fun. And we're going to be debuting some new t-shirts as well.
Yeah.
That you have designed.
Fingers crossed.
And that's going to be at the Rio Theater on Wednesday, the Critical Hit Show.
Fantastic.
Live D&D. I saw recently another D&D group. It was interesting to see them. Maybe we're going to steal some of their ideas. Maybe that's what I'm going to do.
I just want to say you designed the t-shirt. I just enacted your wishes.
I described it in words,
yes.
And you made it an image.
There you go. Listen, that is you designed
if
it.
If someone said to
you designed it.
Leonardo da Vinci,
yeah.
Paint this a lady, the Mona Lisa, and then you paint the Mona Lisa, you really designed the Mona Lisa. I just gave the idea.
But this is, no, it's not the same at all.
All right. It's not the same at all.
No.
I stand.
You stand absolutely corrected, Mr. One Dimension.
I do. There you are.
Can I just do a couple little short plugs?
Dave,
one is
you know it's your show, right?
T-shirts, including next. I'm hoping by this weekend I will have yours up on the site.
Good.
And
the sneakydragon.com site.
On sneakydragon.com. One other one, and also I finally got my the next 50 my gargantuan post, probably longer than the Bible, post looking at past 50 title cards that I did this last year.
And slamming some of them that I don't think you should have.
Slammed a few.
I disagree.
Is that right?
I disagree with those, yeah.
Oh, did you read it already?
Yeah.
Oh, you know.
Or you're like the Green Dragon one where you're like...
That's terrible.
Yeah, you think it's terrible. It's clearly not terrible, everybody.
It's absolutely
it's
awful.
It's clearly not terrible. No.
It's the worst.
Nope.
It's embarrassing to look at. But, I'm okay. I'm okay with it.
You don't sound okay.
There's stuff...
You're crying right now.
There's stuff on either side of it that's great. So I'm okay with
having
like
one. Oh, you think
some
of your work's great?
Yeah, I do.
Well, la-dee-da.
Well, be honest with yourself.
All right. If you could rank all 50 of them as according to Beatles songs.
No, I'm not going to rank them all according to Beatles songs.
Would you say that's a Maxwell Silver Hammer?
Yeah.
The green...
That's definitely a Maxwell Silver Hammer.
Okay.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
Okay.
It was a good idea.
How about the Playboy cover? What would you say that would be?
Oh,
that would be,
that's like, I don't know, Dear Prudence.
Why weren't we doing this the whole episode?
So anyway, it's on there. I only kind of give a knock to one title card. That's pretty good. Out of 50 title cards, I don't like one.
Okay.
That's pretty good. Like I said in it, I really thought my standards were higher. I actually put down more than the first one I did. I had 10 worst ones. This time I only had one I didn't like that
my
much.
My worry is now that you've done all this ranking and overthinking of your work, that like when you have to do the title card this week, you'll just be...
No, because I have no choice. I have to get it done. It might be a total disaster. Like I thought last... Last week's was so-so. Like, you know, I just...
Was that the one with the Victorian?
No, that one was okay, too. It wasn't great.
Oh, boy.
The Carrie one was okay, too.
Oh, the Carrie one. No, the Carrie one was fine.
It was all right.
Oh, boy.
I didn't get the lettering right. I had a hard time with the lettering. I spent about 4 hours trying to get the lettering right. I did. Seriously. I spent a long time on that lettering. Because it has this, like, dot printing of it that kind of fades. And I just could not imitate it. And even when I tried to, like, just physically imitate it, I just realized, ugh, I can't do this. Forget it. Just do what I did and get this over with.
Do you know what? But that's the motto of our show, which is good enough.
That's right. That's what I'm saying, but I'm fine with it. But, you know,
all right. That's
I'm not going to, like, rave about those two title cards.
All right. So we're ending our first year. Is it our first year or second year?
Second year.
On apologies.
Next week.
No, this is the end of our second year.
No.
Right now.
No.
Yeah.
The 104th show, isn't it?
The 104th show will be the beginning of our third year.
Why would that be?
Because that's a one, number one. This is zero, basically, and that would be a one.
Oh, okay.
This is the last one. This is the final
the last one.
Yeah, it's the last one of our second year.
Oh, okay. Well, before we go then, let me just say that it's been a real pleasure.
I love doing the show as well. Back at you. Same here.
I think you're a real engine of the show. I'm glad that I can just hang
thank
along.
You. Your wheels and the thing that you throw the coal into.
Thanks.
You're the hardworking guy who's throwing the coal in there.
I'm the stoker.
Yeah, you're the stoker.
Okay.
That's right. Stoker Ace. That's what I think of you.
Thanks a lot. Yes. Okay, everybody. Enough log rolling. Let's...
What? What's that? Is that also a thing?
Log rolling, yeah.
But we're talking about trains, and now you've gone to log rolling. Oh, fuck. We're going to get our metaphors better for the next season.
They came off the train when they got to the...
We love hearing from you. Please please write us. I feel like I'm your mother. Just saying, would it kill you to write us? Would it kill you to drop us a line? It's nice. Tell your friends about the show. And here's something we haven't said in a while. If you want to go to iTunes, they got the old, hey, say something about the show. Throw a couple of stars up. You know, be honest, whatever you feel, it was whatever you feel. But that helps drive people to our show, so we would appreciate it.
Yes.
Whatever the equivalent of that is on Stitcher, please do that as well. We're also on Stitcher, so check that out and say nice things maybe afterwards, or tell the truth. Either way, it's fine. I'm not asking you to logs.
We can take it.
I don't know what that means.
Log rolling?
We're using Canadian expressions.
No, folks. It's a term for when one novelist reviews another novelist's book.
Oh, okay.
And they both give each other good blurbs for their books.
I was thinking the NFB log rolling waltz.
Is it log roller's waltz?
Dude, I don't know anymore. Hey, Dave, wouldn't it be funny if you woke up right now and you were still in the car?
Just about to smash into the back end of the car in front of me because I've fallen asleep with my foot off the... Actually, because it's clutched, I would just have stalled out on the highway.
Okay.
Beep, beep, beep. Move it, you jackass!
You don't need drugs, Dedrick. And that was your doctor. Well, we'll see you next week. If I don't see you earlier at Show Us Your Wits or Critical Hit Show. But thanks again for listening. I'm Ian.
I'm David.
This has been Sneaky Dragon, end of season 2. Take care of yourselves. Bye.
Good night.
Was in the city, we was wondering where to go. A sign spelled out Palyachi up in lights above a show. We thought it would be a western till the stage lit up with light. And 97 people sung without a horse in sight. We couldn't understand them cause they spoke a foreign tongue. But we can give you some idea of what we think they sung.
Pretty Palyachi.
All at once, there's a fat guy in a clown suit. Tain't Halloween, that's for sure. Then this here feller, this punchy Neller, begins to beller like we all was deep. That was Palyachi, and he sung. Invest in a T.
Cuba and something or other about Cuba. He sung about a lady who weighed 280. When she takes a powder, he just starts chirping louder, and he don't do a goddamn thing except to stand up there and sing. When we listen to Payachi, we get itchy and scratchy. This sure is top corn, so we go and buy some popcorn. We hate to go back, but we can't get our dough back. Ain't no use complaining, 'cause outside it's a-raining. Later, we're still in the darn theater, taking turns and napping, waiting for something to happen. Pagliacci, he ain't hurrying, but the folks on stage are flurrying, and it sounds like Ketchy Turian's Neighbor Dance. Then old Pagliacci finds a guy he's seeking, cheek to cheek, and with his wife he grabs a knife and stabs a louse who stole his spouse, and then he stabs a lady and himself. Tain't very sanitary. They all collapse, but old Pagliacci sets up, then he gets up, sings, I'm dying, I am dying, I am dying. We start crying, 'cause to tell the truth, we're dying too. As the footlights fade out, we see Pagliacci laid out, but the dagger never caused it. Pagliacci was plumb exhausted.
Oh, you're all caught up. It's season two.